Hello, everyone, and we are rumbling back to recording episodes at Bebop Banter, the premier anime podcast. My name is Wes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Demetrius.
Yo.
And not playing World of Warcraft this week, I don't think, Saeed.
Incorrect. I did play this week, but I am not playing while recording.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That one was what I meant. Not while recording.
Yep. He's recovering, people.
Shout out System of Discovery. Shout out Season of Discovery for the World of Warcraft enjoyers.
System of a Down? Hello?
That's what I thought he said.
Yeah.
No, I was gonna, because the acronym is SOD for Season of Discovery.
Sod. Sod. Like the stuff you put on the ground.
Why do you leave the kids up on the table? Indeed.
If I sound nasally, by the way, I do have a little bit of a stuffy nose, so apologies. But that's not going to stop us from putting this episode out. And this episode, everybody, we're going to hop right... Well, before we hop right into it, thank you to everybody for listening for the past few. We've had some shockingly high numbers to start the month of December. So appreciate each and every one of you, all you new listeners. You know who you are. Thank you so much. If you like what we do, you can follow us on Instagram at @bebop_banter. And Demetrius, what else can people do if they really like what we put out?
If you really love us, you can go to Patreon and sign up for any of the tiers that we have up there. There's a lot of exclusive content that's already there and some other things that we're planning in the background. Right now, I think the billing is paused, so you can get all that for pretty much no subscription fee, so the choice is yours.
Yeah, so we're not asking, like, we're always going to be able to do this, so we're not going to force anybody. But if you do like it, you know, consider supporting. But now, with all of that out of the way, we are going to be getting into a very special episode. One that is near and dear to all our hearts, but that Demetrius has been pushing for quite some time, and I know he is pumped to finally be able to sink his teeth into this. It's so special, in fact, that we are going to be splitting it up into two episodes. So next week will be similar theme, different discussion around it. But for this week, the first of our episodes on it, we will be discussing what it is and why it has been important and why we consider it the anime of the decade. If you notice, I haven't said what it is yet. Because Demetrius, what are we celebrating here in this? I'm going to throw it to you. What are we celebrating here in this episode, my friend?
We are celebrating the true anime of the decade. The one that started years ago and popped off anime culture as a whole. Started over a decade ago. Started a whole new wave of fans. It showed that anime isn't just for kids anymore. And showed that it can be multi-dimensional in genres. We're talking about Attack on Titan, baby.
Yep, that is 100% correct. If you've listened to some of our older episodes, or even if you're one of the OGs that was there when we had a blog and we reacted to the Anime of the Decades list that Funimation had put out, based a lot on, you know, public vote, but also based off of whatever their criteria was. You'll know that we were pretty not satisfied with the 2010 to 2019 anime of the decade being Demon Slayer. Demetrius especially has been a champion of Attack on Titan, winning that award. And while it's not my favorite series that was on the list, I think it is undeniable to say that it is the most deserving of that title. So like I said before I threw it to Demetrius, this week we are going to be discussing what Attack on Titan is, the impact that we observed through, you know, being plugged into the community online, being plugged in community in person, and seeing the community grow around the series. And then next week we'll be getting into more of our in-depth thoughts on the series and the series finale that just happened. So, it's time, boys. And the start of this story, as far as the Attack on Titan anime, right? Because the manga, yes, of course, existed. It existed before that, but we're celebrating the anime right now because I feel like that's where majority of the people correct me if I'm wrong, that's probably where the majority of the people have exposure to the series anyways, right?
Mm-hmm.
This story begins all the way back in April of 2013. More specifically, April 7th, 2013, with a studio called Studio Wit releasing the first episode of Attack on Titan Season 1. Because for people that don't know, Attack on Titan was started by Wit. I believe, what was it? Seasons 1 through 3 was Wit. And then 4 and the final season shenanigans that were going on was finished by MAPPA. So, Studio Wit releases Attack on Titan April 7th, 2013. Season 1, Episode 1. And I don't know about you guys, but I specifically remember where I was when I watched the first episode. That's how impactful it was to me.
What were your guys' thoughts on it? I don't remember that, but I remember specifically how I felt when I was watching it. Mm-hmm. Because of how, at least in my lifetime, as an anime fan, I had never seen a new show that was so well crafted, I would say. Like, it was clearly a step above.
And why don't we take this opportunity right now, since, you know, we mentioned how impactful it was. Let's roll into a little bit of why it was so impactful. So what is the premise of, at least initially here, Attack on Titan?
Sure. So Attack on Titan, like the title suggests, is when you're first introduced to the story, there are three kids. So there's Mikasa Ackerman, Eren Jaeger, and Armin Arlert. I can't remember how to say his last
Arlert?
Name.
I forget. He's Armin.
Yeah, Armin. They never say his last name. Anyway, you're introduced to these three characters, and they live in a town that is surrounded by these giant walls. And based on conversations, you figure out they live in these walls because outside of them are these things called titans that eat people. And the main character's basic premise, his main motivation, is to not live like cattle. He wants to be free. He wants to see the outside world. And that's the basic premise. But of course, in a show like Attack on Titan, it's very beautiful, very cruel. And I won't say exactly what happens, but by the end of the first episode, you are shown just how cruel that world could be. Which was very shocking.
And I think, given that premise, one of the things that immediately struck me was, and I think, Saeed, this really falls into your wheelhouse, especially mm-hmm. when we're thinking back on the One Piece world building analyses that you have given. What really struck me is the establishment and how clean the establishment of the system of the world of Attack on Titan operates is, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I loved the, I'm interested in your thoughts, because I loved the world building here in Attack on Titan.
No, I agree. The world building was really good, and I'm a sucker for lore, and the lore was fantastic. I remember catching up specifically when it got to around season 2, but mainly 3 is when they got deeper into the lore stuff. I was like, this is, for me, that's when it went to another level. It was already fantastic when it started in season 1. But then for me personally, season 3 is when I was like, this is built different.
Yeah,
like story-wise. Like, initially, the hook for me was obviously the great animation. And the music.
The music, thank you. Yep.
Was, that's the first episode. I remember watching it. I don't remember where I was or whatever, but I remember the experience I had watching the first episode. I was like, this music is insane. And then the way that the first episode ended, I'm like, oh my God, I don't think I've seen anything like this before.
Mm-hmm.
At that time.
And, like, this, I think
it's crazy.
It's important to really note here as we talk about Attack on Titan, because we are going to try to stay spoiler-free for this episode. Spoiler alert, this episode is more spoiler-free, as we at least discuss our thoughts on the basic premise before we get into why we think it's anime of the decade, that sort of deal. I think it's important to note how unafraid Attack on Titan felt as a series compared to other shows that were coming out around the same time in terms of...
It was very different.
Violence in terms of certain imageries, right? In terms of painting the realities of this world. Like, the hook for me, again, was, like you said, Demetrius, the cast is living in this city surrounded by walls. And naturally, it's like, well, how did they get there? How did the world come to be, you know, in... I don't want to say infested, but inhabited by these titans that eat people. How have they survived? How are they going to move forward? How is the goal of our characters attainable here? And then you're introduced to, you know, the structures of the world, the powers of titans, the way that humans have figured out to fight back. All the good stuff.
You got to remember also when it came out, it was around the time where in the Western media, there was a craze for zombie type shows, like Walking Dead and stuff was popping off back then. If I'm remembering correctly, and Attack on Titan was kind of fed into that archetype of like doomsday, post-apocalyptic type of vibe. Instead of zombies, it's titans. I feel like that helped a lot in like people at the time that didn't watch anime that started watching Attack on Titan and. After that, I actually just started watching anime in general. I know we're probably going to get into it later, but the impact it had, especially the first season, was kind of insane. And I don't think people realize or remember, how impactful Attack on Titan actually was.
Because it was a worldwide phenomenon. I remember that specifically. It was
the first anime, to my knowledge, the first anime during the social media age that popped off to that degree. And it wasn't touched for many years.
And I think part of that can be attributed to the world of anime that Attack on Titan was coming into. So really quickly, it came out in spring of 2013, right? Like I said, April 7th. You have Attack on Titan and then other notable shows coming out at the time. You had Devil as a Part-Timer. You had My Teen Romantic Comedy Snafu. Gargantia in the Middle of Nowhere, Only My Railgun S, Valvrave the Liberator, Devil Survivor, Mushi Bugyo, a whole lot of other comedy series that were coming out, Battle Spirits, Bakugan. Like, it wasn't the point I'm trying to get to here. I mean, you had Hunter x Hunter 2011 that was continuing, you had Naruto Shippuden, you had One Piece, Initial D, you know, some of the heavier hitters, but there wasn't a series like Attack on Titan. And you look at the seasons that bookended it too, and it's the same deal, right? Like, in a way, Attack on Titan almost felt like a return to that late 90s, early 2000s level of intensity in terms of anime, if that makes sense.
And what I'm hearing based on that list that you just laid out for everybody, what I'm hearing and what Attack on Titan did for me in season one was it was a constant like suspense / thriller.
Yes.
Because you didn't know what was happening, and there was so much mystery in the world that really doesn't make sense until you get to the end of Attack on Titan. So it had a power over all those other series that didn't exist before.
Yeah, in a world where like 2012, right before 2013, the big anime of 2012 arguably was Sword Art Online, right?
Yep.
And that kind of heralded that kind of herald. That's a whole episode on its own. Holy wow! But Sword Art Online kind of heralded that certain aesthetic. You know what I mean? Like, you look at it and you're like, that's very anime looking, with the way certain characters were designed. And it had, you know, weird harems and stereotypical girl characters and the overpowered, almost like teenage boy fantasy protagonist type of deal. And you see a lot of shows coming out around that time in that same trend. And Attack on Titan was, no, we're going to have mature violence. We're going to have mature themes. We're going to have a world filled with despair that our characters are like fighting against. It was just shonen thing, shonen tropes or shonen ideals elevated beyond everything at that time. Right? Because what I think a lot of people don't realize too is that Attack on Titan is actually, I believe, a shonen series.
Yes, it is.
It is.
Which
it
is
was,
crazy.
Yeah, it was published in Bisatsu Shonen magazine, which if you listen to our, you know, older episodes on what is shonen, what is seinen, what is josei, what is shoujo, you'll know they're all different age demographic. They're all aimed at different age demographics, loosely defined by what magazine they're in. And shonen is that young boy to like high school aged boy. It's not super adult. So this was that pushing the boundaries of what shonen is series, where a lot of people just assume it's seinen being aimed at older guys, which I think is crazy.
Yeah. In terms of the actual genre of shonen, there are a few standout candidates that always make it makes you second guess what's in that genre. And Attack on Titan is definitely one of those.
Yeah, like Death Note was another one, right? That people always assume is it necessarily shonen if you weren't living around the time that it was being published. Promised Neverland kind of pushed that a little bit too in terms of modern series. But Attack on Titan,
quote unquote, dark shonen era.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, that's another. Now that we've kind of just talked about the basic premise and our individual views on Attack on Titan, Saeed, your dark shonen era is a perfect segue into the real meat of this episode, which is why we think it is anime of the decade. So who wants to just go ahead? I know you mentioned dark shonen, Saeed, but who wants to go ahead and just riff for a little bit on, you know, why this series is anime of the decade from that period, why it was wronged by half a season of Demon Slayer.
Right. I can start off, I guess. I would probably say, first and foremost, actually, is the impact. I don't think any anime has had as an impressive impact as when Attack on Titan came out, because there was no precedence before it. Attack on Titan drew in a wide range of new anime watchers that I don't think we've ever seen before. And the animation quality is something, to this day, I don't think any studio has matched consistently for a season of anime. From season one, between seasons one through three, before the switch to MAPPA happened, even though the MAPPA animation was good, the WIT animation was something else. It was something special to behold week to week whenever it did come out. And besides that, the story-wise, it's simple enough. It's a simple premise of a story, but the more you get into it, there's layers to it. It's like easy to follow on the surface level, but at the same time, there is deep lore if you're into that kind of thing. So it's a cool contrast, and the fact that I don't think people have seen a quote unquote cartoon like that before, even if they were fans of anime, they're probably used to the typical shonen. And this quote-unquote dark shonen, where it's unpredictable. I just thought of this too. This is when Game of Thrones was popping off too.
Game of Thrones! Thank you. Okay, yes. Okay. I was just thinking about that when you said it.
Yeah, because Game of Thrones was popping off. And people were like, we don't know who's going to die week to week watching Game of Thrones. And it was like one of the hype. It was the hypest live at like real life show coming out. And then Attack on Titan was like the equivalent of that in anime, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
They were going like side by side, like unpredictability on who's going to die, what's going to happen type of situations, which is always fantastic for any show in general. So I think a mix of those things, and of course, great characters, great writing in general, great character writing and plot writing, which is very rare. characters with depth and a plot with depth.
Yeah.
So yeah, that basically sums up why I think anime of the... Okay, I need to rant a little bit. The Demon Slayer thing peeved me off a bit because...
Preach! Preach!
Thank you.
Demon Slayer getting anime of the decade was insane because it was one season at the end of the decade. And I'm assuming they did it because of the quote-unquote impact. But I would argue without Attack on Titan... If Demon Slayer came out first, it would not have as big of an impact as what Attack on Titan had. Attack on Titan is the reason why Demon Slayer was able to have that kind of impact, because it brought in that audience. I don't think Demon Slayer would have been able to do it like Attack on Titan, because you do bar for bar, season one to season one, I don't think it's close.
It's not. It's not close at all.
I can't think of a show that's close, period, right?
Yeah, I would argue Attack on Titan season one is probably, I think it's safe to assume, the best season one of an anime, in my opinion. Top to bottom, with music, animation, story, characters. If you take everything into consideration, I can't think of one season one that's better.
Yeah.
Overall, I mean...
Wait, that's my spiel.
Yeah, like you said, it's... Attack on Titan had everything done well at a master level. You had great music. You had great characters. You had a narrative that you couldn't guess where it was going. You were surprised at almost every corner. You had characters that would show up that had multiple sides to them and a world that was always changing because the world was almost another character in of its own. So Attack on Titan as a whole, and I'll be honest, I'm a hype beast, especially back in those days. So when it was like, oh, there's crazy action and this new level of violence and this music that is will send your ears to heaven.
Oh my god.
I mean,
dude, you see how Big Girl how could by Hiroyuki Sawano?
Exactly. Oh. You can't beat that. It's still a masterclass of an OST. Almost everything in Attack on Titan is certified platinum for me.
Yeah.
It's just great. And what I see a lot in anime, not just back then, but even today, is the music will tell the viewers how to feel. Outside of what they're being shown, the music tells people what to feel. And Attack on Titan nailed that at every turn.
You know what's interesting that you brought up about the music? The music tells the story of Attack on Titan. Because I've seen some musicians react to like the music of it. And they were explaining what the music was saying. Because they haven't seen Attack on Titan. But they were explaining what the music is saying. And it's the story of Attack on Titan. Which is crazy.
That's when Alex Mukala popped off on YouTube. His Attack on Titan like OST reactions. Where he's explaining the emotions and what the characters are probably going through just by breaking down the music.
And I love it when they do that.
They do that in the Souls-likes game or the Souls games. And that, again, if we're just putting them right next to each other, that's what makes those games and those fandoms as powerful as they are. Because there's a lot of love that is put into the music. So... And again, Syed mentioned this, and I want to bring it up. What Wit is able to do with little moments, I'm going to bring one up. We're not going to spoil anything, but all I'm going to say is it's called Armin's Speech in Season 1.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Once you see a scene like that, because all they're doing is basically having a debate, but the animation... And just the screenwriting and how it all went down made it one of the most incredible debates I've ever seen in my life. There's a lot of heart in season one. There's a lot of heart in season two, three. Wit is able to do something incredible. I'm not discrediting MAPPA, but Wit...
Yeah, it was different.
On top of their... I mean, they had production scheduling issues because what they're able to do with animation is honestly incredible. Any scene with Levi was...
Oh, my God.
God-tier. That season two sequence... Was this two or three? I think it was two. Sequence with Levi. through the town.
Through the town? Yeah.
Yeah.
Unmatched
To this day. To this day is goated. And that's just one. That's just one sequence. There's
the Irwin moments too. Oh my god. The Irwin speech charging into the field, that one scene.
Mm-hmm. Yup.
Oh my goodness. Season three might be the greatest, I don't know. I was gonna say the greatest like thing I've ever seen in like a show format ever. Of Attack on Titan season three, specifically part two, if I'm remembering.
Part two? Ooh.
Oh my god.
Legendary.
The reveals that, oh my god, I need to rewatch this from beginning to end. The more that we talk about
You want to talk about a good anime marathon? Attack on Titan, promise you won't have a bad time.
And if you haven't watched it, you're welcome. If you watch it, you will be hooked.
Somehow, if you haven't watched it and you're an anime fan, right?
And
it's done now, too. It's done now, too.
And I want to go back to another point when I said it in the beginning. That it has so many different genres in the show. It has elements of mystery, suspense, horror. There's even some comedy in Attack on Titan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is strange because usually a show that has the tone that it sets up is almost one-dimensional.
Oh my god. I'm sorry.
But now that I'm jogging your memory.
Yeah.
Like, Attack on Titan at every turn somehow integrates all these other pieces to make a really strong narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a joy to watch. And crime that Demon Slayer got anime of the decade because of episode 19 popped off on Twitter.
I need to bring up something. I'm not going to spoil the scene, but I remember after season one, there's a long gap before season two came out, if I'm remembering right. It was like a couple years. It might have been
two or three, maybe 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, it was a long time. So I started reading the manga. And the way this one particular scene got revealed about who some people were was crazy to me, the way it was so nonchalant. I did like 5 double takes. Am I reading this right? It was insane. Yep. The reveal of some people being some people. I was like, this is crazy. I've never seen something as big as that kind of reveal being shown in that different type of way. Was another like a subversion of expectations that went like incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
Little things like that is what stuck out to me.
Yeah. And for me, right? You guys have been touching on it. I mean, you talked a lot more about like the production and stuff of Attack on Titan, the story, the writing, the animation, the music. But for me, the anime of the decade argument is really simple and goes back to what you said in the beginning to both of you, Demetrius and Saeed. This brought so many people into the anime fandom that it was almost like a reset of anime in general in the West, right? Like, prior to Attack on Titan, this is a funny way to look at it, right? But pre-Attack on Titan, you'd walk into a Hot Topic, and Hot Topic was Nightmare Before Christmas and
Invader Zim.
Invader Zim stuff. Post-Attack on Titan, you walk into a Hot Topic, and it's all Attack on Titan stuff, which I assume sold incredibly well. Because that opened the door for My Hero to get into different stores. Mm-hmm. It led to the revival of Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z merch in stores. Any sort of anime now, after Attack on Titan, was suddenly thrust into the eyes of people that either had been out of it for a while or had never watched it.
Yep. I don't think people realize also when Attack on Titan came out, there was like, I want to say a good 6 to 8 years, uncontested One Piece was by far the best-selling manga. But when Attack on Titan Season 1 came out, that was the first time that a manga series jumped up that much in sales that it overtook One Piece for a few years. That was not the norm. It's the norm now because Attack on Titan did it first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just one of those things where, like, the title of Anime of the Decade is so much more than just the show being popular, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and also in your guys' opinion. Like, Attack on Titan really brought anime out of the traditional stereotypes that the 90s and 2000s had kind of set for it, right? Like, mm-hmm. anime started off really, really underground, and then it got pretty violent for a while, and then it got pretty lewd for a while. And it was one of those things that you wouldn't really actually admit you were watching to a lot of people, or it wasn't easily available. Like, I got a Crunchyroll premium account to watch Attack on Titan. Like, anime streaming services existed, but I feel like when Attack on Titan came out and it was exclusively on Crunchyroll, right?
I mean, legally.
Legally, of course. But that, because that's also back when Crunchyroll had the free membership you could have, where it was, you just had ads. But I feel like Attack on Titan bolstered anime streaming. It started the comeback of Toonami as it started to air on TV with the English dubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's beyond just being a show. Attack on Titan opened the floodgates to the culture of anime, not necessarily to the mainstream, but to become more normalized. To where now you walk the foundation. Into a store.
Yeah, it set the foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you walk into a Hot Topic or a Box Lunch or a Barnes and Nobles, and they're like anime figures everywhere and bigger anime sections and Blu-rays and T-shirts and whatever other merch you can find. Pre-Attack on Titan, it was not like that.
Not nope. at all. You had to go to the back of the corner of a store and kind of hope that it wasn't
anything. You'd be lucky if you found any anime back there. Yeah. Anything.
And like the other thing that I think we haven't talked about is conventions. So I wasn't going to conventions at that time, but I could still see videos of people that were, and every single video I saw was some people dressed up as a scout member, had dude, the cloak.
When we went to our first convention, I'm pretty sure season two
the sweaters, they were everywhere.
And that's another great point for impact, because the first convention we all went to as a friend group was Otakon 2017, right?
Right. It was like a year or two after season two came out.
We went, yeah. And there were a lot of people cosplaying Attack on Titan stuff.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Rewind 3 years before that, 4 years before that, summer of 2013, I go to my first anime convention. It's Anime Expo in LA. And what do you think the big cosplay was at Anime Expo LA in 2013? 4 years before our first one as a group. It was all Attack on Titan, dude. Every mm-hmm. single person was wearing one of the cloaks or was part of the scouts or whatever other thing. There were people walking around with signs saying Armin dies or Armin doesn't die. Just to mess with people. Like,
that's so messed up, yo.
It was brutal, because that was before I started reading the manga, so I was like, wait a minute, and that's what kind of got me into reading the manga, was like, are these people telling the truth or not?
Yeah.
But, like, it persisted for that long of a period, and even now you can go to a convention, with the series having been done for a while in the manga and just now finishing in the anime, and I imagine when we go to KatsuCon this year, the resurgence and the end of the anime is going to bring forth a resurgence of Attack on Titan cosplayers. But it persisted for 4 years with barely any sort of stuff in between season one, season two.
Right.
And it really made like a tangible cultural change within the anime community with just the impact of it.
Yeah. It was, and we kind of alluded to it before, but just to put it into words, because Saeed said it pretty good, just to put it into words, Attack on Titan was the anime Game of Thrones. You looked yep. forward to every episode because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And even nowadays, right? Like, oh my God. We've talked about maybe, you know, best beginner anime series or reacting to best beginner anime series and all that type of thing. And there's a bunch of arguments for a bunch of different things. But for people that aren't necessarily into anime or anything like that, as long as, you know, depending on the age and their interests, Attack on Titan is currently and was that series, like you said in the beginning of the episode, Demetrius, that proved that anime wasn't just, you know, big boobed girls in mm-hmm. scantily clad clothes drooling over an OP main character that either has a huge sword or pilots a robot or flies a spaceship.
Hey, what kind of sword are you like, talking about?
I mean, hey, I don't know, dude.
Do you guys remember the copycat series LDG. That came out after Attack on Titan? There were so many copycats trying to come out.
And that's what I think is important to note here, too, that you touched on a little bit, Saeed, when you said dark shonen. There is no dark trio without Attack on Titan right now. Quote, unquote, dark trio of shonen, right? Mm-mm. Jujutsu Kaisen, Hell's Paradise, Chainsaw Man. Like, that style of shonen was revived by Attack on Titan.
Yeah, and Attack on Titan is the reason why I feel like a lot of shonen magazines were like, hey, maybe we can dial it up a bit for the maturity factor in our series and stuff, which is also a huge thing. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody pays attention to. Because pre and post Attack on Titan coming out on anime form, huge difference. I guarantee you, Shonen Jump wouldn't have pivoted to this direction, because I don't think people realize, before a lot of these newer series that came out, they're a little darker, there weren't that many dark series in Shonen Jump. Their series had dark moments in it, like, of course, One Piece has dark moments from time to time, Naruto has dark moments from time to time. The closest thing I could think of is Hunter x Hunter during the Chimera Ant arc was right. probably the darkest Shonen Jump got for a while, but fast forward a few years, you get things like Chainsaw Man coming out now in Shonen Jump.
Yeah, so here's... I actually have the Shonen Jump. I have Weekly Shonen Jump, January 1st, 2013 lineup up here. Remember, Attack on...
Nostalgic.
Yeah, dude, this is going to be... I'm looking at some of these covers, and I'm like, man, I remember seeing these on the...
That era was fire. They had some fire series going on at the same time.
It was a good era. It was an excellent era, as you're about to hear by what I'm going to read was going on. But keep in mind, Attack on Titan wasn't in Shonen Jump. It was in Shonen Bisatsu magazine, a direct competitor right. to Shonen Jump. But
and keep in mind also, before this, everything was just a Shonen Jump, Shonen Jump, Shonen Jump.
Yeah.
Every series anyone would talk about online were almost always only Shonen Jump series.
Yeah. Attack on Titan, it's a Kodansha series, not a Jump series. Different publishers, right. very important to note. And I'd have to look, right, to see when... This would be a little more research that I might look into before the next episode, because not related to... not related directly to Attack on Titan, 2023 is the first year in basically 20 years that a non... Jump series was the number one selling of the entire year for manga volumes, but I'd be interested to see how
conversation.
Yeah, that's the Blue Lock one. But I'd be interested to see how frequently Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan was,
or no, not
singular volume. Or
yeah. So I'd have to do a little more research into it, but I feel like Attack on Titan is up there as far as series that were. You know, sold really, really
as
well
far
in comparison.
Yeah. As far as, like, all-time sales throughout the year, Attack on Titan has had a few years where it was number one out of everybody. But for per volume sales, no, it's never been number one per volume, per one volume sale. Like, one volume of Attack on Titan that came out that year compared to one volume of One Piece, I don't think Attack on Titan ever overtook that one volume, but the entirety of the sales they did.
So,
interesting.
With all that in mind... Here was the Weekly Shonen Jump 2013 lineup. Compare it again to series that are currently going on in Shonen Jump, like a Chainsaw Man, a Sakamoto Days, which is all about assassins and assassinations and stuff.
Also, I'd also argue Jujutsu Kaisen, because Jujutsu Kaisen is pretty dark compared to that.
Yeah,
pretty dark.
Jujutsu Kaisen, like, keep that all in mind as the current Shonen Jump lineup post Attack on Titan. But pre kind of Attack on Titan takeoff, this was before the anime came out and really leapfrogged the series into the public eye. Our 2013 Shonen Jump lineup was Toriko, Assassination. Dude, this is actually a strong lineup too, though.
Yes, it was impressive.
Toriko, Assassination Classroom, One Piece, a Hunter x Hunter special chapter. So that came out in 2013. Kuroko's Basketball, Naruto, Bleach, Sket Dance, Nisekoi, Food Wars, Gintama, Haikyuu, Beelzebub, Koichi Kame, Cross Manage, Madoka Box, and a couple other that haven't really gotten famous localized. But the prevailing theme here being, outside of Bleach, right, a lot of these series are pretty fan servicey, pretty comedy, boat-focused, right? Like, not saying that One Piece or Gintama, I mean, Bleach, again, more serious, but not saying One Piece or Gintama or Assassination Classroom don't get dark and don't have those moments, but none of them to the level that Attack on Titan was at.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I would say, like, the home ground of a lot of those shows is the polar opposite of Attack on Titans. Like, Attack on Titans,
right,
tone, for the most part, is more dreary or... I'm trying to find the right word for it. Because it's like you said, it's unique and it's dreary, but it's also, like, negative, I should say. Maybe that's the way I should put it. Like, you're weak. You're not strong in this world. You are weak. Versus a show like that where it's like, oh, well, my main character is definitely strong. Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. It's a take on, you know, the traditional, I think part of what you're trying to say is, like, you look at this Shonen Jump lineup, and pretty much all of these are, yes, they're underdog stories, but they're underdog stories that all end with you pretty much knowing the hero comes out on top, right? Attack on Titan is, to a degree, an underdog story, but it's one that constantly batters you with the harsh realities of the world that it is set in, and the constant reminders that, like, this is not necessarily a series filled with hope on a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments, really, in season 1, 2, and 3, even to the end, there's a lot of moments in Attack on Titan where you're watching the screen, your eyes glued, because you don't know. Not only is it unpredictable and you don't know what's going to happen next, but it is a very real story in the way that the heroes very well could lose.
Mm-hmm. And let's call it out like it is, right? We all love One Piece. We've all discussed how we think One Piece is awesome, all that sort of deal. It's a favorite of the big three, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The one criticism, though, we consistently have with One Piece is that sometimes it feels like there's no stake, because characters that either initially were thought to have died or should have died don't. Mm-hmm. Right?
Don't get me started.
Attack on Titan, like you said, Saeed, really subverts expectations and reminds the reader, again, this is something I feel like Jujutsu Kaisen is trying to do, but not as successfully as Attack on Titan does. It reminds the reader that, no, this is a situation that feels hopeless because it is hopeless and people are going to die and there is maybe not a happy ending coming out of this right now.
Right.
Like, and I'm not going to say exactly what happens, but the best example, if you hear nothing else of Attack on Titan, if you haven't seen any of it and you're not sure if you'll like it, watch at least 5 episodes. In episode 4 and 5... let me tell you how that changed the outlook you had on the show. Because in any other show, and I'm not going to describe what happens, but in any other show, it would have went the way you thought it would have. But in Attack on Titan, it doesn't go that way. And what you feel inside, I remember what I felt when I watched it. I felt pretty hopeless. I was like, wow, I don't know how to feel about this. Like, what's going to happen now? And an Attack on Titan is good for, like, slapping you in the face. And that's how I want to put it, because anytime you think you know what's going to happen or how it's going to play out next, it flips you on your head and says, no, not that way. So you're always left guessing. It flips
the whole
guessing.
Story at one point.
Yeah,
completely left field. I personally loved it whenever it did that crazy flip of the story
moment. It's a thrill ride. I mean, any good piece of media should be somewhat unpredictable and still stay true to the story. And I think Attack on Titan is still a masterclass in that regard.
Agreed.
Yeah, and again, it's so interesting with Attack on Titan how it takes its traditional or typical shonen tropes or story beats, fighting against fate, standing tall in the face of despair, but adding that sense of hopelessness or bleakness or darkness to it that makes every little victory feel earned, but also not feel like it's this is going to sound really weird, right? But it makes it feel less like a fantasy, because you read some of these, even though it is, and it very obviously is, but you read some of these shonen series and it's like, the power of friendship has won me this battle or something like that, right? Like, whatever, that's how you're going to win it. And you
shout out
to
Attack on Titan, by the way, because there's been a severe gigantic decrease in that type of story after Attack
thank
on Titan.
Goodness.
So shout out. Because that was becoming very common for a bit,
fairy tale.
It stopped.
Yeah, Fairy Tail.
Fairy Tail was the most egregious part of it, but shout out to Attack on Titan. And around the time that came out, Magi was coming out. Magi was kind of darker too, so that was kind of nice too, and Magi was kind of popping.
I think...
But it's like
cool
you get
thing.
Those moments,
the
and
cool
Attack
thing.
On Titan does that, though.
Uh-huh.
But,
and Attack
but
on
not.
Titan continues to... It's like grounded in enough realism that you feel it more.
Right. He's like, what would I do in this situation, in this world? Like, you know the whole situation? What would you do if you're in this anime's world or this fictional place's world? Attack on Titan is one of the worst places you would possibly be in. So the despair factor we were talking about before was like, you get immersed in it. You feel like you're in it with the characters, the way the story goes and stuff. And I very much appreciated, because I could tell while watching it or in reading it, that Isayama knew where he was going with the story.
Yeah, that was crazy.
It was,
foreshadowing.
It felt very well planned out, and I very
also,
much appreciate it.
On that note that you were saying too, Saeed, like, because, you know, there's always that in anime fandom or in any traditional shonen, like, you put yourself in that situation, right? You're like, I'm the hero of this story. I could be the hero of this story. Attack on Titan, yes, our heroes and our main characters are the ones that step up to the plate and confront all of these challenges. But it reminds you pretty frequently there are a lot of people in this world that don't want to do that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something. I don't know if there's something wrong with us or something. Maybe because we were deprived of this type of storytelling. But that darker stuff, I have no idea why. It grabs more attention. A lot of people like it a lot more for some reason. It gets more popular.
It's
relatable in a way.
It feels
it's
again,
more real mentality of the world.
Real, but at the same time, a story like Attack on Titan plays on primal fear, really. It does.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Titans can do to a regular human is terrifying.
Yeah.
But even as a kid, I think most people would agree with this. Everyone has childhood memories of looking up at an adult and being like, wow, they're freaking huge.
Yeah.
Of feeling small and like scared at times. That is something you never really forget. And to see it in a way that you are weak and feeble again in the face of danger is very real.
And that's what shout out to Whip. I mean, not Whip. Wit. Is it Wit?
It's Wit. Wit Studio.
Yeah, Wit.
Yeah.
Wit
shout out
Mappa.
Wit Studios, because they captured that. Because the glance, like the shots of the Titan's face followed by going into the reaction of the individual that's in the line of sight of the Titan, terrifying. It was, mm-hmm. You can feel how scared these characters were in those situations.
Which goes to another point about voice acting. Voice acting. Yeah. One second. Before that, Titan, though. Before that, Demetrius.
I just want to get on one point real quick before the voice acting, because this goes off of what you and Saeed just said. It never loses that sense of fear. Right? How many shows are out there that, like, before we get into the voice acting, because I think the voice acting piggybacks off of this too. How many shows are out there that introduces a huge threat, but by the end of the show, they're not a threat to the characters? But Titans persist throughout the entirety of this show as a threat.
Yeah, like, it's so scary with what goes on in the story and what changes to make it terrifying at all the time. Season 2 had one of the... Season 2 broke people's minds with the reveal of a certain character.
Yep.
In multiple places. Because everything you thought you knew, you were wrong.
Like, it never really becomes easy for characters in Attack on Titan. Like, Bleach, they introduce Hollows, right? And then, like, the Menos and all those ones. And they're threats for, like, a little bit. And then by the end of the series, a Hollow shows up and it's like, oh, I'm going to even less than one shot this thing. But in Attack on Titan, it's never that easy, right? There's always this looming sense of your memories from the beginning of the series where there were threats and constant reminders that Titans are threats, that you're still in it, which then I think goes into, and I'm sorry to have cut you off, Demetrius, but I think then that goes into your point here on the voice acting.
Yeah, whoever the director was for voice acting and the actual voice actors themselves did a incredible job displaying fear, even if it's in another language, because I'm assuming most of us watched it sub. Even in another language, you can feel the genuine fear of some of these characters with what they're saying or seeing or experiencing. Now that I'm older, I could have kind of predicted some of this stuff, but again, referencing episode 5, when something happens and I heard this one character scream, I mean, I was like, wow, it's a wrap. I can't believe I'm watching this show. What happens?
You know why you can guess it now, probably? It's because Attack on Titan set a new
precedent,
template of storytelling for this kind of thing. Because now, if you think about it, things like Jujutsu Kaisen and stuff, it's not as unpredictable. Because we're expecting that kind of thing to happen anyway.
That's true.
The unpredictability is what we're expecting now on these darker series. We're like, oh, who's going to die? We know it's going to happen. Yeah, something crazy is eventually going to happen. We know it's coming.
Come on. Hit me.
Yeah.
We're all like the Joker in the Dark Knight, you know. We're just saying, hit me. Come on. Yeah. Versus back then, we were just like, oh, you know.
Just straight up from the first episode.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I remember as soon as the first episode ended, it gave me the similar feeling, because it came out 2013, right?
Yeah, April 7th.
This is around the same time, I think a year ago or a few months before Attack on Titan came out, I caught up to Game of Thrones. And I watched The Red Wedding. I don't think anything has made me feel the way I felt watching The Red Wedding. The anime equivalent of that was Attack on Titan Season 1, though.
Yeah.
Season 1, episode 1. It just caught me off guard.
And again, it's so important to state, like, the power of the start of Attack on Titan.
Because it's insane.
It still has its dips and its highs and its lows throughout the entirety. Like, it's not an absolute perfect series. But the setup from episode 1 and majority of season 1, it's one of the rare series where it can carry that through to the end.
And just to amplify that.
And the further you go into the series, looking back on those first few episodes, it adds more context. So it's like, it's kind of crazy. You've learned about things later on, going back and watching it after you've seen the entire thing, you're like, oh, wow.
There's few shows, not even just anime, that can like actually grab you and pull you in, but Attack on Titan is gripping with everything that happens. Sensational. Yep.
What a time for entertainment back then was, actually. Now I think about it even more and more. Mm-hmm. There's some peak going on everywhere at the same time.
Oh, yeah. This whole section has been why Attack on Titan should have been anime of the year. Anime of the decade, I should say.
As far as I'm concerned,
I do not see any anime coming out in our lifetime, potentially, that's going to be as impactful or as impressive as Attack on Titan. Because do you know how hard it is? How many series that have came out that just haven't stuck the landing for the masses for the most part?
I mean, from what I'm... Top of the head, let's break it down right now. In the way that I view it, you have Astro Boy coming out and setting the standard for anime, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then the next kind of generational shift, really, besides some of those early series that set the foundation for all of it, like the Tezuka stuff and all that, Dragon Ball was the huge foundational series for what Shonen turned into, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, The Godfather.
And then after Dragon Ball, Attack on Titan.
I agree.
Yeah.
I would 100% agree.
Yeah, I mean, those were the moments that shifted the culture.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Dragon Ball established.
I don't think anything has, whatchamacallit, taken that from, like, it's still the Attack on Titan era in my mind. I don't think, Demon Slayer, I think, is under the umbrella of Attack on Titan era. In my opinion, personally.
If I'm thinking about Demon Slayer in the life is beautiful but cruel element, then yes, it is 100% under the Attack on Titan umbrella.
Because by numbers, obviously, Demon Slayer is more popular, but I'm talking about, like, influence-wise, the shift in the culture of anime, Attack on Titan, like Wes said, is probably the last one that's happened so far. I'm not sure what we'll be able to top it or change it.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see, like, looking into the crystal ball in the future, right? We're in a more mature age of shonen. Unless the pendulum swings the other way, right?
I think it has to.
Yeah.
Personally, yeah, because like we said before, we're expecting these things now, so it's not as interesting. So the older stuff, like the goofier stuff might be a little bit more appealing. Think about Spy Family, I guess, for an example. It was a very big change of pace.
It was.
From like the day-to-day, the series that became popular season to season usually were the darker ones, from my observation. But Spy Family was one of the rare ones that wasn't like a dark series that popped off.
It was wholesome.
After a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, after a very long time. That hasn't happened in a long time. So maybe this whole pendulum thing is a thing.
I think...
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting.
Most things are in cycles, so I fully expect in the next 5 years... On record, I fully expect that there will be some series that comes out that is incredibly goofy and wholesome enough to shift the pendulum one more time.
Yeah. Because I just remembered another series that was pretty dark, that was very popular, still popular amongst anime fans, was Fullmetal Alchemist. Before Attack on Titan, there was like this brief period in time where we had the cookie cutter shonen, quote-unquote. And I guess Fullmetal Alchemist was probably the first introduction to, I guess, something a little different, a little bit more dark. It's not as dark as Attack on Titan, but that was just something I wanted to point out.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so it's just ultimately as we wrap this episode, right? Again, this is episode 1 of 2-episode celebration of Attack on Titan. Look forward to our kind of spoiler-filled thoughts next week on...
I cannot wait.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the series as a whole, on the finale, all of that. But as we wrap this episode, Attack on Titan, one of the most influential series in terms of pushing the limits of storytelling within its genre, pushing the limits of characterization within its genre, of production within its genre in terms of music... In terms of, I mean, I feel like it's the series that helped put Sawano on the map in terms of music, right?
Oh, yeah.
But in terms of music, in terms of voice acting, in terms of animation quality. And then it's a series that really set the tone for the current generation we're living in. I mean, every other series that comes out in Shonen Jump now, whenever they have a new wave of Shonen, is some sort of darker story. There hasn't necessarily been a series that can capture the magic of Attack on Titan. I remember reading chapter one of Red Hood, which legit ends with an Attack on Titan moment of a giant creature crashing through these walls of a town. I won't say the context in which. And that series got canned because it just couldn't capture the magic that Attack on Titan was able to capture. And I feel like it's a special series in that it defined a generation that's currently going on of shows and storytelling styles and all of that. And yet within its generation, it still has yet to be met within its demographic, because there's some really good seinen stuff out there. But it really has yet to be met in the shonen sphere by another series that can do what it does. So final thoughts, guys, before we sign off here.
Attack on Titan is the anime of the decade of the 2010s. No debate, no question. I don't care about recency bias. Demon Slayer is not that. It is not. Straight up.
Attack on Titan is him.
It is him. And it sunned all of these other shows. Kaiju 8, come
Attack
on,
Attack on Titan him?
Hello. Yeah.
Attack on Titan him.
Yeah.
But even manga like Kaiju 8 that's going to get an anime adaptation without any spoilers about what that's about is clearly
very, very Attack
an offshoot
Titan.
Of Attack on Titan. Clearly.
Yep.
That's all I got to say. Go watch it if you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that. If you haven't seen Attack on Titan, highly recommend it. You're welcome in advance, by the way. If you're into darker stuff, if you're a little grossed out about a little gore and something, maybe it's not for you. But if you don't mind a little bit of darker storytelling, you're going to very much enjoy Attack on Titan. I might be preaching to like maybe two people in the entire world at this point.
Yes.
Stupid.
I mean... We could even push this into a 3-episode series and react to the live action Attack on Titan movies that came out, you know.
Oh god.
Ooh, didn't see those.
But we'll talk offline about what makes them so funny. But
they had games too.
With that being,
people love those.
Oh, the games were sweet. But with that being said, everybody, this was episode 1. Again, reiterating it. We only talked about in this episode, you know, what Attack on Titan is and what we think makes it special as a series. Next week, spoilers on Attack on Titan. Entire series spoilers. Series finale spoilers. Comparisons to the manga spoilers, because that's pretty interesting when it comes down to the end. All the spoilers next week. So thank you all, everybody, for listening. It is a monumental moment to have a series as important in the community as Attack on Titan end, and we just had to talk about it. So with that being said, we'll see you all next week. My name is Wes. This was Demetrius and Saeed, and you guys know what to hit him with.
To be continued.
Bebop, don't stop.
Peace.